Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The former head of Pakistani intelligence, General Hamid Ghul, to break down from the Pakistani perspective all the buildups for an expanded regional war out of Afghanistan into Pakistan, will be joining us in T-minus 30 minutes. Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley joins us in the middle of the second hour, a doctor of history, and also he's an economist to look at the economy and the fact that the Chinese are openly saying that the United States, the private Federal Reserve that runs the U.S., has already begun defaulting on the global debt via hyperinflation, and we'll look at the geopolitical military developments, the ongoing drone attacks in Yemen, which the CIA has finally admitted they're doing today. Just huge drone attacks. I mean, how many countries are going to be attacked? When does Skynet officially launch more of these robotic drones against the population of North America under the whole NORTHCOM system? We're going to be going over all of that today. Obviously, there have been some big new TSA developments. The Drudge Report over on the right-hand side under the photo of Janet Napolitano, or Rachel Maddow, whoever that is. Miss Napolitano. Okay, I get confused sometimes. Sorry. Miss Napolitano, the head of Homeland Security, under that photo on the Drudge Report, you can see our report by Paul Joseph Watson. It's also up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, dealing with a drill TSA security exercise, covers three states, 5,000 miles. And this is just an expansion of the acclimation to the public of the rollout of the TSA takeover of society. So we're going to be breaking that down as well today. Also, we're going to be looking at what's happening in Europe as the austerity measures go into place. The Greeks are, again, rebelling against their government. We'll look at more of the economic numbers of Obama. Everywhere he goes now at his fundraisers, being heckled and booed even by his own minions. And it turns out that we have lost millions and millions of jobs since Obama got into office, when he promised all of this wondrous hope and change, and everything was going to be absolutely wonderful once a big government got into place. And the good news is more and more federal courts are ruling parts of Obamacare unconstitutional, with other federal courts announcing that they may rule that the whole thing is unconstitutional. Well, if the courts don't rule it's unconstitutional, the courts are a joke. It does not take a constitutional lawyer to know that the government ordering you to buy a private service is unconstitutional. And yes, they've done it with insurance. And now they're trying to expand it with health insurance. And if this stands, we're in a lot of trouble. So we're going to be going over that. Also, Pentagon Papers whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg says the government has ordered the media not to cover questions around 9/11. And integrating in with that report, half of New Yorkers in a major scientific poll want a new investigation of 9/11. And the New York Times is reporting Pakistan arrests CIA informants in the supposed Bin Laden raid, no doubt to question them about the staged event. Also, Image Comics has an issue coming out, The Big Lie, that looks at 9/11 possibly being an inside job. It looks at both sides. And USA Today has written a big article about it, basically not attacking it. So 9/11 truth becoming more and more mainstream with time as trust in government continues to erode at a record level. So that's just some of the news on that front that we're going to be covering here with you today. Again, this is the GCN Radio Network, and I'm Alex Jones. We have a lot of very informative guests coming up today. The websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
T From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us, my friends. It is Wednesday, the 15th day of June, 2011. We're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. We're going to be talking to economist and historian Webster Griffin Tarpley at the middle of the next hour, the bottom of the next hour, breaking down the incredible economic developments, the fact that the communist Chinese have openly said that the United States is already defaulting on its global debt, and that is the truth, by dollar devaluation and the beginnings of hyperinflation and all of the other just earth-shaking economic developments that are taking place thanks to the private Federal Reserve that hijacked this nation 97 years ago, all of their policies meant to transfer power and wealth from the middle class to the offshore banking cartel, now coming home to roost. That is coming up. We'll talk to the former head of Pakistani intelligence, who was the big hero in the U.S. in the 1980s, fighting the Russians alongside the CIA. General Hamid Ghul, now called by the London Guardian and others, the real leader of Al-Qaeda. Yes, the real leader of the Easter Bunny Corps. He will be joining us coming up in T-minus 25 minutes from now. Okay, the Drudge Report is again top linked to us on the right-hand side under an image of the Homeland Security Chief, Janet Napolitano. And we've got this report also up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com by Paul Joseph Watson. TSA security exercise covers three states, 5,000 miles. And in this detailed report, Watson goes over the entire history of the TSA in the last 9 years since they created these uniform security forces and their own admissions and plans to be at every shopping mall, every public school, every highway with giant mobile trucks. And they're now purchasing the big mobile X-ray trucks. And, of course, 2 years ago in Tennessee, they set up checkpoints, and the governor came out and said, you can't set up checkpoints with the Army and National Guard with you and shut down whole highways and search people without warrants. And the TSA, and we had state reps on from Tennessee to cover it, told the governor to go jump in the lake, to go fly a kite, just sit down and shut up, basically. And they expanded it. And it was going on in four states at the time, but it was only Tennessee that stood up and spoke out. It was in that Tennessee whole sector and the three states adjoining it. And here is the report. Think the TSA was just restricted to airports? Think again. If you're still living under the delusion that the TSA is just restricted to airports, then think again. A joint Viper security exercise involving military personnel has Transportation Security Administration workers, they're the commanders, covering 5,000 miles in three states in this new drill, illustrating once again how the TSA is turning into a literal occupying army for domestic repression in America. And remember Obama during the campaign saying we need a domestic security force just as big, just as strong as our military. And then you saw 2 months ago where the TSA announced that because they're in control of the federal program, that the thousands of firemen, police, and medical workers, the heroes of 9/11, the government told them the air was safe to breathe. And, of course, now we know they knew it was deadly, but were told a lie. Christina Todd Whitman, but that's a side issue. More lying by this criminal so-called government, that they have to go through an anti-terror database to be given approval every time they access the new government medical card. And the TSA has stated under Ridge, back when he was the head of Homeland Security, that to have a job, you'll have to have TSA federal approval through the Threat Fusion Centers. So I'm going to be breaking all of this down. We have a special report I put together covering the full spectrum of this. We're going to play that special report here in just a moment that has all the news clips woven into it. But here's another report. Again, USA Today reported on this a few months ago, but CNS News reports today, union wants mailmen to thwart terror attacks. And we'll come back after this special report and get into how every federal employee is basically being turned into a spy. But they don't stop there. Cable workers, phone repair people, carpet cleaners, all being turned into a Stasi force, but they're not looking for Muslim terrorists, as we're told on the surface. It's all about gun owners, libertarians, domestic terrorists, as we're called. Real Americans translates terrorist, according to the terrorists that run our country, not our government, foreign offshore banks. Break the paradigm. Wake up. Save the republic. Here is part of the special report. The full report is at Infowars.com. Here it is. From the Infowars.com news desk. My friends, for more than 9 years, we have chronicled the federal government's giant, unconstitutional, 10th Amendment-violating power grab that is the TSA. More than 8 years ago, I read federal documents and also witnessed the head of Homeland Security, Tom Ridge, admit that in America, to have a job, to drive a car, to have a driver's license, to be able to travel anywhere or go to a national park, that you would need federal approval as a, quote, trusted traveler. Over 2 million Americans are now on the no-fly list. They're expanding it to a no-gun-buy list. No jury, no judge, no conviction. You're just put on these lists. Now the TSA and Homeland Security, along with Chuckie Schumer, are pushing a no-travel list on trains, buses. Homeland Security has come out and announced that they're going to have TSA at checkpoints on major highways, not just bus terminals and train stations. This is all a strategic rollout in the name of security. Why everyone must be safe everywhere, and it's the federal government's job to stick their hands down your pants, your children's pants, your wife or husband's pants, and to grab your wife and children's genitals in the name of safety. This is all about training you to accept total tyranny. There's been a big new development. A federal judge out in Santa Fe, New Mexico, ruled that the TSA needed to run security at the schools and at school proms to make sure that the school officials, the authorities, not the servants, were carrying the searches out properly. That's right, a group of people who, outside of law and federal jurisdiction, have been caught stealing money from people, who've been caught engaged in pedophilia, who put you through the naked body scanners and then grope one-year-old babies and six-year-old girls, they are now going to certify your local police and private security and say, hey, we're the federal government, and we say you can stick your hands down people's pants at the prom. Now, they announced out in Santa Fe, New Mexico, that last Saturday they would be there a few days ago, sticking the hands down the pants. But for some reason, the TSA backed off and didn't show up. But never fear, they had the state police there groping people. So the message is this: you're not allowed to congregate anywhere in land of the free, home of the brave, unless federally approved goons are there groping you.
No TSA agents at one Santa Fe prom tonight, despite a federal judge's ruling saying there had to be.
Santa Fe District Superintendent Bobby Gutierrez says instead of TSA agents, the court is allowing them to use state police for this evening.
This is the new America. They want in your personal space. They want to prepare you with these federal grants for the police to take blood at warrantless DWI checkpoints, to have forced inoculations on children outside of law, as they got caught a few years ago doing with elementary school students and the flu inoculations. It is the antithesis of freedom. It is 180-degree polar opposite from any basic liberty. And it sells the idea that if you give up your liberty, the government's going to keep you safe. This is a huge power grab. It's a federal power grab, and it's wrong, and it's becoming absurdist, so ridiculous, it's hard to even believe the headlines. TSA to oversee searches at Santa Fe prom. And then a few days later, no TSA agents at prom, despite court ruling. What are federal courts doing saying, by God, we need to make sure these searches of the kids are being done properly. Let's send in our crack teams of TSA agents to grope their genitals. Doesn't matter how many states pass laws against this, the feds say it's their prerogative to do it. Why do we even have states then if the feds claim there's no 10th Amendment? How did Land of the Free, Home of the Brave get to the point where the TSA, under a federal court ruling, is saying they're the great arbiters of security and that they have to have a TSA representative at a school prom to make sure the searches are done properly and everybody's safe? This is a monopoly on security, a monopoly on reality, and it makes no sense. No one can keep you totally safe. No one can wave a magic wand and ensure nothing will ever happen to you. But that's what the nanny state is pushing. Well, who protects us from the cops killing us with tasers? Who protects us from the cops throwing homeless people out of wheelchairs and slamming their head in the ground? Who protects us from tyranny of the state? That's always been the big threat. But in this bizarre 1984 world, the federal judge said, well, there's been complaints about kids being groped at school, so we'll send the TSA as the experts to teach them how to do it. That's like saying, hey, you know, this guy beat his wife, so let's send a serial killer to teach him how to really deal with her. You know, he'll chop her head off. Federal goons are there to run the frisking of high school students? Now, the TSA backed down this time. They said because, you know, they couldn't get their people in line, and so the state police did it. The point is, they're going to be back, and this is being rolled out everywhere. It's up to us to say no.
Security consultant David Bohm says the future could include security checkpoints entering all soft targets, like your local department store.
Every day, millions of Americans come to places like this.
Crowds of people, open doors, arrivals, departures.
It's the sort of security we've seen a lot of since 9/11. Now, here at the bus station.
Teaming up to keep your family safe.
You guys came off the train, right?
All right. We'll be right back to give you the latest and what they're turning the mailman into. Got a lot of news on the economy. Also, the Republican debate a few nights ago. Coming up after our first guest joins us for one segment. There's a big report at the Daily Poll. We've also got this linked up on Infowars.com. Video of it actually happening. CNN Disinfo refuses to use their own poll and scores of other scientific polls that showed Ron Paul winning at 79% and higher. And they used some private fake poll they did with 54 respondents to show Ron Paul with zero votes, and that's what they put out on the news, but only in the fine print did it show that it was only 54 votes. Romney with 51%, Bachman with 21, Pawlenty with 9, Gingrich with 7, Herman Cain with 4, Santorum with 4, Paul with 0. So on national news, they're saying, oh, Ron Paul, zero, not telling you it was some internet poll they posted where nobody could see it, and that their own real poll, 79% voted. So that's how they do sleight of hand. That needs to be investigated. I tell you, they are so incredibly disingenuous, and there's video of it. There's screenshots of it, and then there's screenshots and video of all the other polls, CNBC, Fox, you name it. And CNBC did the same thing. They showed 54 votes with Romney with 51. In fact, it was a CNBC poll that CNN used, some internet poll that I guess no one even was able to see. I mean, we put a poll up on InfoWars, and it gets 5,000-6,000 in a day. But the CNBC poll had 54 votes, and that's what CNN used, to be specific, showing Ron Paul with zero. When their own CNN poll that we have video of and a screenshot showed him winning by 79. That is how desperate the system is starting to get right now. The headline, video, CNN, disinfo, refuses to use own poll, Ron Paul win at 79%, reports zero. I mean, whether you like Ron Paul or not, I happen to love him. This is the deception we're talking about. This is what the mainstream media does, and that's why the mainstream media more and more is not the mainstream media. In fact, it's a paper tiger. The top shows on MSNBC might have a million. Most of their shows have 300,000, 400,000. That's a joke, ladies and gentlemen. Mainline talk radio in big cities like New York or L.A., the top radio shows that are only on in those cities can have upwards of 500,000 listeners conservatively in an hour. And they're a couple $100, $300, $400 for a one-minute ad. And then meanwhile, the same one-minute ad on MSNBC is 10, 15, 20,000. Again, it's all a fraud. It's a scam. It's a total and complete joke. All right, I'm starting to rant on that issue instead of finishing up with the whole TSA situation. You know, at the end of that report that we just played, it has a few clips from a TSA video press release about 6 months ago admitting that they're going to be at malls and shopping centers and grocery stores and that they are at bus stations and train stations. You just pull up at the bus station in New Jersey or Texas or Florida. It's happened everywhere. California. And the TSA leads you and your family into a room and does the groping there. And now they're running this three-state exercise. They've run four-state exercises before where they're setting up checkpoints and have aircraft out surveilling people. They're calling it a drill. But during these drills in the past, they actually search people. So there's the report. TSA security exercise covers three states, 5,000 miles, centering in around Kentucky, West Virginia, and one other state that's being reported on by multiple newspapers, and we have links to it. Continuing along that line of news, I have a report here out of CNS News. And if you're hearing this for the first time, this is not only in CNS News. In fact, it's not just the head of the union calling for it. This is what Homeland Security has said they're going to do. First select, but then all Postal Service vehicles are going to have NSA snooping masked on them, similar to what Google got caught and criminally charged with in Europe last year with their own little Google cars. With, by the way, Google is really NSA CIA. That's come out. Google was founded with NSA / CIA InQtel money. Don't believe me. Just type in Google founded with CIA money and you'll get Associated Press telling you how great it is. Union wants mailmen to thwart terror attacks, CNS News. And CNS News has a clip courtesy CNN with the head of their union for the biggest group of federal workers out there, biggest one single group, that they're going to be secret agents spying on you and driving around with the mast that pick things up. And, of course, they push in these reports, oh, it's to pick up chemical or biological traces, but oh, also to be picking up digital data. So driving around just vacuum cleanering up everything that they might be missing when your communications run over the big telecoms where the NSA is admittedly firmly ensconced. And it's come out all over the country that one of the main groups is cable guys. When they're in your house, they're spying on you. But the cable box itself is spying on you. I mean, where does it end? It's beyond 1984. Stay with us.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Thank you for joining us, my friends. Now 33 minutes into the first hour of worldwide broadcast. At the end of this segment, I'm going to open the phones up on the TSA domestic security takeover, on what's happening in the economy, the latest on Wiener being caught lying even more. Any issue you wish to raise or bring up here on air, the toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. We have a lot of geopolitical news we're also going to be covering. Ahmadinejad, the leader of Iran, joins China-Russian leaders at a summit. There's a lot of big developments with Pakistan now getting closer to China. China coming out and telling the United States to not land their ships in Vietnam. Vietnam trying to cozy up to the United States now, and a lot of saber rattling. The Financial Times of London is reporting between the United States and China over Vietnam. Like World War I, the Japanese were on our side, and then in World War II, they were against us. Stuff flip-flops. So a lot of realignments happening globally. And we have joining us from Pakistan, retired Pakistani three-star general, known for heading the Inner Services Intelligence and leading the and directing the war out of Pakistan in Afghanistan against the Soviet occupation that came after their invasion. and also serving and advising Benazir Bhutto and other prime ministers, General Hamid Ghul, generalhamidghul.com is the website. And, of course, you see him on CNN, Fox. You see him all over BBC globally. I wanted to get him on today to talk about the deteriorating relationship between Pakistan and the United States that he predicted here last year and earlier this year. And to talk about the CNN report, CIA safe house owner in Bin Laden raid arrested. Headline, CIA assets arrested. The Wall Street Journal reports inside Pakistan, the Pentagon now saying on a scale of 1 to 10, the relationship has deteriorated from a 7 to a 3. With Pakistan, more drone strikes killing more people. Months after Pakistan ordered the drones out, Yemen has ordered them out, bombing intensifying. This violates international law, but it's a huge escalation. General Ghul, a lot has happened. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Eric. I'm available to you anytime you want me.
Well, thank you. General Ghul, what's most important in all the big developments that are unfolding? Am I accurate in saying that tensions are escalating in a frightening way?
Yes, indeed, they are. And at a very critical time when America is about to start withdrawing troops from Afghanistan, and Pakistan is the only relief zone they have. And I don't know why they were hell-bent on destabilizing Pakistan. It can't be in America's interest. Then whose interest is it serving? I think the fears of Israel and the ambitions of India, these are not driving the American policies, unfortunately. And I think this is going to hurt the American people in the long term. So I, in order to satisfy other nations, other who have always been like parasites, they have been feeding on the American goodwill, these countries' interests must not override the American public interest, American national interest. But unfortunately, this is exactly what is happening right now. And as far as the relationship between CIA and the ISI are concerned, they are pivotal to any kind of safe exit for America out of this region. And whatever influence America wishes to retain, because it is going to create a lot of problem. And I think the important thing is that even a man like Henry Kissinger came out very strongly that please do not encircle Pakistan, do not destabilize Pakistan, because the more you do that, the more America will distance itself from Pakistan, and Pakistan will get closer to China, and it will indirectly get closer to Russia as well.
Well, General Ghul, for new listeners who don't understand the geopolitical makeup, the United States is beginning a supposed build-down, as they call it, in Orwellian terms, from Afghanistan. But even the Pentagon yesterday said that their whole strategy is, quote, shifting towards Pakistan, towards the east, towards your border, and the drone attacks are intensifying. And now we've seen these arrests inside Pakistan. What is the information you're getting, the intelligence you're getting with your connections in the Pakistani army and intelligence? What are these arrests of supposed CIA moles who were involved getting intelligence on the Bin Laden reported raid?
It's not only that, Alex. I think the whole lot of picture has to be understood in its broader perspective. I think right from the beginning, and I was one, I think in one of your shows I had said this also, that 9/11 was merely a pretext. It was an inside job, and it was a pretext to go globally for capturing the territories for the strategic concept of the American generals, you know, that the harebrained, although it may be. But that was one objective. The other was to create space for the corporate America. Third was to contain China, and the other was that the immediate excuse was that they have to demolish the Taliban regime in Afghanistan. Today, a report has been published, and the main reason was women's rights. Today, a United Nations report has been published, and amazingly, it says that Afghanistan leads the list in the entire world, including Congo, etc., It is where the women's rights are being trampled upon. That means it has not had any effect whatsoever. As far as Al-Qaeda is concerned, Taliban had distanced themselves from Al-Qaeda a long time back. So what was the objective really? It was not Afghanistan. I think a lot of people here, including me, we thought that Pakistan was the target because Pakistan is nuclear. Pakistan has a very large army, very good army. Pakistan is self-sufficient in food. It's not like North Korea. It is not like Iran. So Pakistan can stand on its feet, and Pakistan has China at its back. And they were to, this entire adventure was to support Indian hegemony over the region eventually, which is not working because the Americans' lives have been lost in these two wars. More than 6,000 Americans have been lost, and I think four times as many have been injured, and a lot of them have become psychological casualties, which is incalculable because no figures have been put out.
We're speaking with General Hamid Ghul. Specifically, though, from the last time we talked to you a little over a month ago, has the situation gotten better or is it deteriorating on a faster pace? And you say you can't figure out what these national interests for the U.S. is. You say there's an interest for Israel or India. What interest do those countries have in destabilizing the region?
Well, I don't know. India really wants to reach out to Central Asia, and they have got to sort of get goodwill of Pakistan for that, because Afghanistan is landlocked, Central Asia is landlocked, and you can reach only through Pakistan. So instead of bashing Pakistan the way it is being bashed, it is important that you settle the Kashmir dispute, which is a bone of discord in relationship between India and Pakistan over the past 63 years. And all the Kashmiris are wanting is a right of vote, which is at the pinnacle of the edifice of democracy. So why don't the Americans and Indians, who claim so much that they are beholden to democracy, why don't they give them this right to vote? This is one issue which needs to be settled. As far as Israel is concerned, because it is an artificial state, and they fear that they have a short shelf life. This is very unfortunate, though it is not so. But this is what they believe. It is because their own religious prediction in the past, in their scriptures, they say a few things and it invokes fear in them. And they think as long as Pakistan is nuclear capable, one day Israel may taste the wrath of Pakistan or the Muslim world. But you see, here is a point that you have to understand. Netanyahu was made a very good offer by President Obama that let's go back to 1967 borders. And it was not an easy thing to be accepted by the Palestinians. But still, I think it was a reasonable formula, very, very wise suggestion. But the way Netanyahu turned it down, and he insulted the President of America in a way. But when he was received in the Congress, there was such an innovation. On every word that he said, they would jump up, the congressmen, men and women, and it was a puppet show. It appeared like that. He was a puppeteer, and there were puppets in front of him who were coming up and down. I mean, if a small state like Israel was to steer the policies of America, and its destiny indeed, because that is where the destiny lies. So I can only lament the policymakers in America.
Well, General Ghul, looking at India's reasons, I mean, you're saying they want to expand in the region. Why not just engage in business and trade? I guess they're still angry about the whole Kashmir war. But now going back a few weeks ago to the attacks on the Pakistani military bases by supposed militants, we have the CIA agent arrested a few months ago, reportedly trying to give chemical, biological, radiologicals to, quote, Taliban, as a way to frame the government as leaking these materials. I mean, specifically, the Pakistani news is starting to report that Western intelligence is trying to foment Al-Qaeda-type activities to then connect it to the Pakistani government. What can you say to that? What can you say to major newspapers with no evidence that claim that you might really be the leader of Al-Qaeda. I mean, I know you've seen those quotes. What do you make of those statements?
Diabolical nonsense. They are trying to find scapegoats because they failed so miserably. The American generals and the American and the Western intelligence services, they have failed their own people more than anyone else. So they are trying to find the scapegoat. They will come out with the evidence. I am here available. I have said that, okay, I am prepared to travel to America. In fact, I applied for renewal of my visa on 6th of May 2001, before the 9/11 happened. And they said that we'll let you know in 3 weeks' time. I have a written letter from the U.S. Embassy here. And those 3 weeks have not expired so far. Similarly, U.K. banned my entry in 2000. And I wrote to them, look, if I am wanted by you, if I am a security hazard for you, why don't you haul me up? Why don't you interrogate me? Why don't you send your own undercover officers to come and talk to me? If you have any doubts, any questions, why don't you talk to me?
In fact, you said earlier in the year here that you're ready to get on a plane and come and testify before Congress right now. So if you are...
Exactly. I am prepared to do that. But they will not have it because they don't want to listen to the truth. They know that I will speak in their idiom. I have worked with them. I worked with the CIA. We did a very good job. I have lots of friends. I hold nothing against the American people. In fact, I pity them because they are so gullible. They are so innocent. They are very easily taken for a ride. And then latest, Alex, what has happened is that my grandson, the son of my daughter, he won the Fulbright scholarship in his own right. He stood first in Pakistan. And he received a letter of congratulation from a person no less than President Obama himself. But when he applied for visa, not only the Homeland Security denied him the visa, but they asked the people who were concerned with the Fulbright scholarship to cancel his scholarship. What problem? I just don't understand. I think they are being very unreasonable. And this is how they make people who are their legitimate friends, they turn them into hostile entities against them.
Certainly. So you have family that has these, you know, prestigious scholarships, and our government or Homeland Security that's seizing control of the states is saying, hey, you know, don't even let them have that scholarship. When you were a guy in the 80s and early 90s, they talked about how great you were in our news. And just because you're against these wars, you're against these drone attacks on your country, you're a bad guy. Yemen, that's been the supposed ally of the U.S., has stopped the drone attacks. You're stirring up the country, and they say, we're not going to stop. I mean, how can the people running this government just randomly have drones flying around, killing whoever they want? I mean,
Yes, exactly. More than 2,500 people have been killed in drone attacks, and it has invoked the revenge sentiment in the tribesmen, and they have really given a blood bath to citizens and bazaars of Pakistan. No less than 35,000 people have been killed in this. 5,000 Pakistani soldiers have lost their lives in America's this futile war, which is not going to bring any result. America is spending in Afghanistan today $113 billion. Can you believe it? It is nearly more than $2 billion a week. No, this is a lot of money. And
that's why they want to keep the war going. People say, what's the point of the war? It's about the war profiteering, the opium, controlling who can build gas pipelines and oil pipelines through the region. It's for multinational corporations. It's bankrupting America. We pay for it. We get nothing out of it. And the good news is the head of the Speaker of the House, Boehner, has come out and given Obama until Friday to specifically say what's really going on in Libya. And I've got some intel that U.S. troops are preparing from Fort Hood to deploy in the next month to Libya. So this is appearing to become more than just a regional war, but a wider war. General Gould, in closing, go ahead.
This is insanity, Alex. I tell you, please, people of America, a lot of them, I know millions of people are listening to you now. Please tell them. This is bad. We are your friend. We have stuck to your heel over so many years. We have been through the era of Cold War. We brought down the Soviet Red Menace, as it used to be called. John Pastor Dulles till today, Pakistan has paid a huge price, but America has every time betrayed us. Now look at this case of Raymond Davis and a parallel spy network they set up. It is a treason for a Pakistani, and in any country the law is that it is a treason to be spying for somebody else. But here are Pakistanis who have been hauled up, and now Americans, according to the UN, the New York Times report, they are very disturbed about it. Why should they be disturbed? If it happens in America, what would be their response? Why are they being so unfair and unjust to a country which has been a long-term ally and whom you need? The American people need this country. I can assure you, you need our support. I am a strategist and I understand all these things. And I am a friend of America. I am not the enemy. I am critical of their policies, as many of you are within America. So there is nothing wrong. But the way they give me, I've just told you how...
Well, General Gould, hold on. Let's finish up briefly after the break. I want you to finish this key thought on the other side. Then we'll go to your phone calls and a lot of other news. Stay with us. It's not General Hamid Ghul saying this. It's the Financial Times of London today. The global order fractures as America power declines. We've been manipulated by these offshore megabanks to build their world government but then be politically destroyed. We have the head of the Speaker of the House, the head of the House, giving Obama until Friday deadline on Libya. And now breaking, lawmakers sue Obama over Libya. A bipartisan group of House members announced today that it's filing a lawsuit charging that Obama made an illegal in-run around Congress. He said, I did it under UN authority and didn't even consult Congress. Again, this is against America's interest to go in and make an enemy of Pakistan when they told us months ago, get your drones out. And it continues. They want to set up a war with Pakistan, who's got nuclear weapons, and China has said they'll come in. This is not in our interest to trigger World War III, but these globalists are going to sit it out in Europe while this happens. Who got most of the bailout money? European private families. They hate America, and they're going to use the war to do it. General Gould, do you agree with that strategic basic statement I just made?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. A little more. I think this will be a disgrace if America were to be defeated at the hands of Taliban. Can you imagine that these nameless, faceless people, individual band groups, they are non-state actors, they are going to defeat America? I think it has to be negotiated. You have to accept that you made a mistake. You came at a wrong time in a wrong place against the wrong people. They were not Al-Qaeda. They were not against America.
And Pakistan's trying to give us an exit, so declare victory 10 years later and leave.
Yeah, they have no, because they have found an excuse in Abbottabad raid. It was a fake, but it doesn't matter. We'll accept this. Okay, that is your victory. You have achieved your targets. Go out, for heaven's sake. Leave us alone and attend to your own domestic problems. Obama should now appear like a president of peace rather than another president of war that America is unfortunately suffering.
Now, General, you just alluded to the bin Laden raid, and I said you weren't sure early on. You've now researched it. What is your view on the bin Laden raid? Real, bona fide?
I believe that his wife and children were living there, and he wasn't there. He had died a long time back. But there was an understanding between our intelligence, and Pakistan intelligence, and the American intelligence, that we will, at an appropriate time, in order to declare victory and to build a pretext for withdrawing from Afghanistan, we will carry out an operation. But towards the end, Leon Panetta decided to take the credit for himself, all by himself. And I think this man is very dangerous. You've got to be careful. This man is a disaster. The outgoing defense secretary, Robert Gates, was more sensible. He was more mature. But this man wants to take credit. And on the other hand, the new CIA chief, David Petraeus, has got agenda of his own. It is his private agenda, which he's pursuing. So you have to be very careful how things move
sure.
in the future.
Sure. General Gould, in closing, you have intel sources or just from talking to other sources, you're saying now that it was fake. Pakistani intelligence went along with the fraud as a pretext to give the U.S. a fake victory and an exit strategy.
Yes, this is not there. Everyone knows there. And I'm a little more informed than the others. But this is what the real story is. And I think a lot of people across the world don't believe what the Americans are saying. If you were to believe President Obama, you would listen to his first statement, which said that he was the troops were resisted there, the Navy SEALs were resisted. But second statement that he was unarmed. He was killed, if at all, you have to question, in front of his wives and children. And he was unarmed. He was putting up no resistance.
If he's the, if he's Bin Laden, you want him?
Murder.
If
it is not a murder, and who's guilty to have ordered that murder?
All right, General Gould. Let me say bye to you during the break. Thank you so much for spending so much time with us. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, if you just joined us, we had General Hamid Ghul, former head of Pakistani intelligence, on and off air. He confirmed that, yes, quote, everybody knows in Pakistani intelligence. Now he's got the full scoop that it was a staged event. But he said, go ahead, go with the official story. You killed Bin Laden, now you can leave. Okay, we don't want World War III to start. And I agree with that statement. And the Financial Times of London, many other strategists, even the Secretary of Defense agrees, it's time to go. It was time to go a long time ago. But I hear neocon radio always saying, you know, you're anti-America, you're running up the white flag. Alexander the Great had to pull out of Pakistan and Afghanistan. Nobody has ever dominated that place. They're not going to give up. It's not going to happen. There's nothing to give up to. I mean, it's insane. But did you hear him saying that the word is, quote, everybody in Pakistani intelligence, and he's got the sources. I said, specifically your sources? He said, yes, all of them. That he was already dead. Bin Laden's got a bunch of wives. There was one group there, and they had decided to do the raid a long time ago. As a, quote, fake victory, as a pretext for the West to have its exit strategy. But the word is, this has even come out in mainstream U.S. news, that there are elements of the Pentagon, elements of foreign interest, lobbying India, Israel, and others, that want to keep the United States in the region. And so they're going to try to have this certain elements of the CIA get radiological, chemical, biological, you know, NBCs, to Al-Qaeda / Al-CIA connections as a pretext to then say, oh, look, the nuclear components are getting out. We've got to invade. There's been open talk about that. And China is saying they may go absolutely ape if this happens. And you've got China. You've got the Iranians, the Russians all getting together, the Pakistanis. Pakistanis were our ally. This is not good. And everything our government's doing is destroying our goodwill worldwide. It's destroying our real national interest. It's destabilizing. Well, the global banksters, their interests are not our interests. They don't want a stable world. They can play the different arms of society off against each other. They can play the different regions off against each other and then create global crises that the big mega banks make profits out of, just like the old, you know, famous European banks, the Rothschilds and others, funding all sides. Sometimes there were multiple sides in a war, not just two sides, but different sub-factions funding all the different sides. And everybody goes into deeper debt. It gives the banksters and the austerity moves political cover because people tend to do what their politicians say during a new war. We've been predicting for years as the economic implosion becomes evident that wars would be started, and now it's happening all over. That's how World War I, that's how World War II started. That's how much of the Cold War was fought, through proxies. But now it's the global private banking cartels playing sovereign nations off against each other for not either side to win anything, but to destroy the nation state. There is a war against the nation state going on. There is a war against the republic. Anything the globalists are for, I'm against. They're for gun control, I'm against it. I'm against them disarming the citizens worldwide, as they're trying to do through this UN treaty that UNIDIR has, that they've brought back up for the umpteenth time, that the news is now reporting on. I am against the borders being wide open, and the North American Union, that they now admit with the WikiLeaks documents, is in place. The globalists are for it. I'm against it. They're for all these wars. I'm against it. And then you go in and geopolitically look at, is it in our interest? Not is it even moral? Well, let's just set that aside. But when you get past all the Chinese flags made in China, American flags made in China, when you get past all the fake patriotism they candy coat all of this in, it's poison on the inside. We're going to come back, go to your phone calls, get into a lot of financial news, government corruption news. It is all coming up today. It is the 15th of June, 2011. I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network, GCNlive.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, folks, thank you for joining us. We are now 8 minutes and 15 seconds into hour number 2. Coming up in about 25 minutes, Doctor of History, also an economist, Webster Griffin Tarpley, is going to join us on all the big economic news that's coming out. Here's some of it. Stocks fall over 1% amid Eurozone worries after stocks dropped several weeks straight. They finally went back up a little bit earlier in the week, but have dropped down again, unfortunately. And we have the Chinese government coming out and saying the United States has already defaulted by inflating the currency. That is what's going on. We have the Financial Times of London today reporting the global order fractures as American power declines. We have been maneuvered into this position by mega global corporations dominated by the private central banking complex that do not have the United States interest at heart and openly put out policy reports calling for global conflict. Not so America wins or Pakistan wins or China wins or England wins, but so that this global order, so globalism can be expanded. And very serious developments. I'm going to your phone calls, but here's some of the news we're going to be covering with Dr. Tarpley coming up. Lawmakers sue Obama over Libya. And absolutely, even if this Libya war was just, and it's not, turns out Gaddafi didn't run to Venezuela. He doesn't have rape teams with the Viagra, the State Department's admitted. I mean, look how ridiculous that is. That's like saying Saddam was killing babies that were in incubators. It's admitted that that wasn't true. These are things that are meant to sell the war. It's about trillions in oil. It's about having a new war for the European Union to expand their control along with AFRICOM and the Pentagon into Africa. And Gaddafi made deals. He gave up his WMDs, just like the pro-U.S. dictator Hosni Mubarak was betrayed. They've put a new dictatorship of the military coup in. They've arrested 7,000 dissidents. They've banned protests, period. It's worse than under Mubarak, and our media suddenly isn't telling us that there needs to be a new revolution. Who runs our media? These are corporate interests that want to destabilize the Middle East, and it's happening everywhere. But finally, 3+ months into this, Congress is saying you didn't even consult Congress. It's a violation of the Constitution and the War Powers Act. And Obama says, I have UN authority to do this. Wow, that is treason by every historical measurement to say I did this for the credibility of the UN in a speech and a statement. That's my authority. Is the United Nations. Well, then why even have a Congress? You know, the feds are always telling us the states have no rights. Why do we even have states then? It's the same thing. It's a power grab. The people running America want to run it into the ground. They hate anybody who's free and independent. They hate the Iraqis. They hate the Libyans. They hate the Pakistanis. They hate the Swiss. The globalists are always trying to get rid of sovereign nations. Are the Swiss good? Yeah, they got a lot of freedom. Good folks. I like them. Is Muammar Gaddafi good? No, I don't like him. I don't like dictators. I don't like big government. The point is he's not a globalist. That's why he's being removed. Is removing him good? No. It's being done for the wrong reason. Same thing with Mubarak. Do I like a dictator? No. But he was our dictator. But see, he wasn't. He was the globalist dictator. And look at how they betray him. They'll betray us as well if we go along with this police state. And Boehner's coming out saying Obama's got until Friday. Are they going to cut the funding, start hearings? Lawsuits have started, Politico reports, talk of impeachment. Representative Walter Jones, Republican, leading the charge. Ron Paul involved. This is big. Okay, because look, if Obama can do this, I didn't like the Iraq war, but Bush went to Congress and got the authorization. Why did Bush do that? Because he was supposed to. Okay? This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Ahmed Dinajid joins China, Russia, leaders at summit to talk about what the U.S. is doing. I'm not saying Ahmed Dinajid's a good guy, but all the things our government is doing is making all these countries, the Iranians have never liked the Russians, the Pakistanis have always hated the Russians. They're all getting together now. Now, why do the globalists that run our country, why do they want this? What's the Financial Times of London say? The whole world's turning against us. This is a setup, ladies and gentlemen. Continuing here, Vietnam shift could see return of U.S. ships, Chinese threatening, Financial Times of London. Now we're teaming up with the Vietnamese, our supposed enemy. China rebukes U.S. over South China Sea disputes. AP, Russia's freaking out over U.S. warships in the Black Sea, saying it's a provocation. U.S. naval movements around Syria, Hezbollah moves rockets. This is all the type of jockeying you see before a world war. Everybody's lining up, choosing sides, and it's not in our interest. Okay, let's go to your phone calls. Let's talk to Doug in Virginia. Doug, thanks for holding. Welcome.
Thank you, and thank you for all the work that you've done for this country. I want to talk about the TSA.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to see the TSA abolished, but if not, I think we need to fight bureaucracy with bureaucracy. And we can do that by having the profession of a TSA screener or passenger screener regulated not by a state TSA, but by the Department of Professional Regulation, like a doctor, lawyer, plumber, electrician, or barber, so that all TSA agents would have to be licensed, bonded, and insured with standards as to who can serve, training, so they recognize medical devices, implants.
Well, that's another issue. Right? The TSA and their federal rollout on the streets is commanding the military. That's in the news today at checkpoints and police. You've got military under command, hundreds of years of history, esprit de corps. You've got the police bonded, trained, sworn. That's why they won't stick their hands down your pants, because they know it's illegal without a warrant. That's why they disdain the TSA. And you've got these people. Look, it's against the law for them to not do radiation testing every month on the scanners. They just do it. It's against the law for them to stick their hands down your pants. They just do it. I've had district attorneys on. That's the whole point. It's a total power grab. It's against the law to have them out of their jurisdiction on highways and at school proms. But you're absolutely right. We need to. There's more than one way to skin a cat. And by the way, I've got to say this and then go back to you, Doug. Every time I fly now, it makes me actually feel guilty. And it's very weird. But I flew to New York this weekend and flew back through Austin, and it makes me feel very strange, because I know what the TSA is doing wrong. I know they've got a lot of thugs and goons, but they ask for my autograph. They say they're fans. The manager came over at Austin and said, I'm a fan of your show. A lot of us agree with you. We don't like doing this. And I'm like, you're telling me this in the concourse? Can't you get in trouble? So I want to be clear. Same thing happened in New Jersey. A lot of these people are good people who need the job and don't like doing it. I'm not saying it's okay what they're doing, but we got a lot of friends at the TSA, and they say, we want real union power. We don't want to be doing this. We want a profile. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes. If they were licensed by the state, then there's the ability to fine them or prohibit their action or even revoke their license so that they can still be employed by the TSA, but they can't screen, the same way as a doctor can work for the VA. But if he engages in malpractice as defined by the state, he can't practice medicine.
But that's the thing. Everybody else, a lawyer, a police officer, an FBI agent, a plumber, everybody's under this licensing system and laws passed at the state level for regulation and federal. That's why the State House in Texas keeps asking the feds, where is your code? Where is your law? Where do you get this authority? It's like the FBI Monday announces in their new handbook, they don't need warrants to break in your house, to dig through your trash, to wiretap you. Well, I mean, can the TSA write up new policies saying they can do, proctology exams? Great points, Doug. What do you think, in closing, of the latest that they're expanding more highway checkpoints with the Army?
Bad news, but you know, again, it's up to the states to assert their authority.
You said it, Doug. And Texas tried. The House passed it 138-0. David Dewhurst, a former CIA guy, killed it, tried to cover it up under political pressure, reintroduced it in special session, got a few weeks left in it, sent it to Rick Perry. Only the governor can add a bill to special session, and Rick Perry has refused so far. And I'm going to do some more reporting on Rick Perry soon. I told you he was going to run for president. I told you 3.5 years ago in Endgame, and he's always pledged, I'll never run, I love Texas. He said a month ago, I'm not going to run. Suddenly, maybe I'll run. Folks, he's got the book out. He's traveling. He's getting ready. He's going to run, okay? And by the way, we got all the dirt on Rick Perry. I'm just up at the edge of that cliff right now, wondering how far I want to go with this, and I want to cross some T's, dot some I's. Let's go to Mike in Texas. Thanks for holding, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, man, I've talked to you a couple times before. I'm the telecom engineer out here. And I have some documentation I want to send you. It'll be great research, so I'll mail it off to you. But, Alex, I know sometimes on the air you'll actually put video footage on. This goes back to the theme that you always talk.
Okay, your phone was breaking up a bit. Go ahead. Yeah, his phone was just doing all sorts of stuff. It's all over the news right now. That the telecoms are spying on everything you do, that Google 5 years ago put a press release out saying with the onboard microphones and cameras on laptops and computers, we're listening to you for advertising data. And if we hear a dog barking, then a ad will pop up on sites you visit via the cookies that advertises dog food. That was one of the examples. And they said, well, listen to what sitcoms you listen to and then put ads up for paraphernalia associated with the sitcom. And we wrote an article about it. People couldn't believe it, even though it was a link to a press release they put out to stockholders. And I hope that caller can get back through because I want to hear what he had to say. Now, here is Google in the news today. Now they're getting ready to announce it to the general public. The San Jose Mercury News. Google aims to speed up the web with instant pages and spoken search. So soon you'll just talk to your computer, and they already have iPhone apps that do this. Well, and Google says, don't worry, people aren't listening, so it's okay. No, NSA software given to Google 12 years ago is, and it's all based on that, keyword scans. And so there it is, where they just calmly announce like it's no big deal. Oh, guess what? You're going to talk to your computer now. Well, yeah, to the microphone. The sucker's on, reportedly, all the time. Just be aware of that. We'll be right back with more calls. Stay with us. You notice that as the entire world economic system begins to speed up in its downward spiral into a meltdown, you notice that war is sparking up and drone attacks and confrontations with the Chinese and the Russians. The world is creeping towards a very dangerous time. And this always happens in history before huge wars. Most people aren't aware of it. They're not paying attention. There's a recession. There's a depression. And then, boom, it starts, and it's off to the races. And it always starts with smaller regional conflicts. We're going to be talking about that coming up in the next segment. Let's continue with your calls. Let's talk to Janice in Texas. Janice, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. I have two points I'd like to make, and I had to write them down, so I'm sorry if I sound like a robot. First, I wanted to congratulate you on a true victory on, I think it was like two Fridays ago, with the MI6 BBC smug creeps, like, staring you down. And I just wanted to say that Steve Pachinik was your Excalibur and Bob Chapman was your champion. It was a true Camelot moment. I mean, their mouths must have been on the floor with that kind of information. And I hope they had their tail between their legs. And
yeah, well, that guy does hit pieces on Patriots, so he's particularly nasty, so that's why we went after him. I said, go ahead and come on in, but we're not going to be nice to you. We're not going to play friendly and, you know, act like we don't know exactly what you're up to. Go ahead.
Your listeners that day were the ones that did the dance of victory, so he can put that in his pipe and smoke it. But, okay, number two, a couple of callers, I mean, I listen every day, and have since you were on public access, but a couple of callers called in, one time with Gerald Celente on and one time with Porter Stansberry, and, you know, you've got the buy gold, buy silver, but then you've got a lot of listeners who just don't have the money, you know? I mean, they're broke as a pig in a poke. They just don't have the money. And
no, I understand, but I mean, silver 10 years ago was $5 an ounce. Now it's almost up to 40 again. And so the issue is, you know, you buy a silver dollar for $5 10 years ago. Now it's worth 40. And so even the people that have almost no money can get into silver. And, you know, that's why I've been such a big promoter of silver. It's not that silver's gone up. It's that the dollar's gone down in value.
Had money, I would definitely do that. I'm not saying that's a bad idea. I'm just...
Well, look, I think your health is more important than even money. That's why we promote trying to eat organic, trying to get healthy, you know, myself included. It's a very unhealthy world out there right now, and I think that comes first.
That's what Gerald Celente's answer was. Break the chain. Don't buy junk. Don't go to Walmart. Don't buy all that. Just, you know, there are still garage sales, thank God, for now. And, you know, other, like, thrift stores where you can buy all kinds of things.
Absolutely. All of us are buying things we don't need, and it's important to try to support local businesses. I appreciate your call, Janice. Adam in Alabama, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Alex.
Welcome.
I wanted to say two things real quick. I'll try not to take up too much time.
That's okay. We want to hear from you.
Okay. The first thing is with the debate and the CNN construing that poll to make it look like Ron Paul's a zero. I think we should use a Google bomb towards that, if you will, just like we did or you did, we all did with the CPAC conference. How they used last year's footage, how Fox did that, and had to come back and redact it. I think that
Folks that don't know, Ron Paul the last 2 years in a row has won the coveted CPAC, and Ronald Reagan, of course, won it. Usually, the person that wins CPAC ends up becoming the Republican nominee. In fact, in almost every case, and Ron Paul got a standing ovation last year. And CPAC ran booing over him. They ran another clip from a year before that was also staged with a few people booing, but they had the mic in that area as a setup. So they reran the old footage when he won. Actually, it was early this year. Time flies, but it wasn't last year. It was this year. So when he won this year, they did that. And for those that just joined us and don't know what happened, it's confirmed. We've got it up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com with the video clips and the screenshots. CNN took an obscure internet poll with only 54 respondents before they closed it, so it looks like it was staged, from CNBC and ran it that Ron Paul got 0% in the debate two nights ago. All the other polls showed upwards of 80 or higher than 80. CNN's own poll showed 79%, but they didn't run with that poll. They showed a CNBC poll with 54 votes that no one knows where it came from, with Ron Paul with zero, and didn't tell people that. I know we just went to break there. We got Webster Tarpley coming up. Adam, anything else you want to add?
It'll take a minute. Can you hold me over?
No, we've got to go to Tarpley, but if you want to hold, I'll come back to you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
The federal government has quietly been recruiting over 100,000 preachers to spy on their flocks. They've been issuing secret reports to police that we've gotten from good police and leaked, where they're demonizing gun owners, conservatives, libertarians, returning veterans. Almost their entire police state grid is for people you would call flag-waving, red-blooded Americans. And why is that? Because flag-waving, red-blooded Americans that know what makes America America are aware of what's happening. clearly the ruling class that runs this nation, the offshore private banking families on record who got most of the bailout money, are positioning the U.S. for giant wars. Domestically against the people, but also internationally against other nations. And the Financial Times of London is reporting the global order fractures as America power declines. And who's been running America? The globalist, globalism. And so they're waging war against other countries, but also us here domestically. It's full spectrum dominance. And we're going to look at all of the incredible developments and political and military realignments. Vietnam getting closer to the United States, China and Russia getting closer with Pakistan, Russia saying, get your ships out of the Black Sea, United States. All of this saber rattling, and it's happening as the economies melt down. This happens throughout history over and over again. In the midst of that, you have the Speaker of the House saying, hey, you got till Friday, Obama, to tell us what's going on with this war. We're going to cut the funding. We have Congress people filing suit against the federal government, against the executive branch, pointing out that this is illegal. Incredible things are happening right now. Meanwhile, we have government corruption at all-time highs, with Obama openly giving health care waivers to his campaign donors so they don't have to buy insurance for their employees. Total mafia. Just total big city corruption, where you're exempt from stuff if you give us money. I mean, that is total gangster. Obama donors net government jobs. Politico reports, totally illegal. They're now having fundraisers in the White House. Illegal. One of the reasons Clinton almost got impeached. They don't care. The fact is, before they hid this stuff, now they're out in the open. Just like congressmen in the past, it was much more rare to be in sex scandals or to be texting photos of their genitals to scores of women and then lying about it. There's a recklessness, and I tend to start agreeing with Tarpley, that they don't know what they're doing, that they're nuts, they're out of control. I mean, they think they've got a plan, they think they know what they're doing, but more and more they're a bunch of lazy, out-of-control elitists. And so many historians we talk to point out that the old elites were corrupt, but they were much more professional. And that's even more scary, that these people are out of control. This ruling class are a bunch of lunatics. So we'll be talking to Dr. Tarpley about all of this here in just one moment. First, I want to tell you about some amazing sponsors. eFoodsDirect.com, their deal is going to end very soon, where you can buy three of any of their incredible storable food packs, their gourmet packs, the biggest outfit in the country. They have the best prices. None of it's a GMO or any of that stuff. It's clean, high-quality food, freshly made. eFoodsDirect.com, buy three, get the fourth free, 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633, or eFoodsDirect.com. Also, PureWaterFreedom.com. I want to tell you about the folks at PureWaterFreedom.com. They have whole house systems, tabletop systems, beneath the sink systems, travel water bottles that filter the water. They've got it all at PureWaterFreedom.com. It's all made in the good old U.S. of A. I'm sorry. Homeland Security says that means I'm evil, but sorry, it's made in America. They have, a whole line of whole household water filters as well. Give them a call. By going to their website and linking through. The phone number's there if you want to call the number, or visit purewaterfreedom.com to take control of your water health today. And don't forget that this broadcast is also funded and financed by the listeners buying books, videos, Patriot t-shirts, all available at Infowars.com. All of my films that I want you to get, I want you to make copies, I want you to give them to your friends and family, I want you to air them on Access TV. It's having such a huge effect through the grassroots. And then there's also PrisonPlanet.tv with the video streams of the show, the higher quality video archives, the commercial-free podcast, all of it at PrisonPlanet.tv, 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month. All the special reports and so much more we're adding there. Now, shifting gears to Webster Griffin Tarpley. He is the author of George Bush, the unauthorized biography. He also wrote the unauthorized biography on Barack Hussein Obama and is one of our chief experts in my seminal film, The Obama Deception, laying out everything that Obama would do, and he indeed did do it. People see Obama deception, they're totally blown away. He also has multiple degrees from Princeton, summa cum laude, and Pi Beta Kappa, Fulbright Scholar, University of Turin, Italy. He is a doctor of history, fluent in German, French, Latin, Russian, you name it. He's a decades-long expert on international terrorism. He did a major study for the Italian Parliament. I'm going to stop right there. Tarpley.net is his website. And for those that just joined us, Webster, all Hades is breaking loose. We see major global geopolitical realignments. We see massive saber-rattling everywhere. We have the Chinese saying, you've already technically defaulted. You've got Vietnam starting to move towards the U.S. You've got Pakistan running to China and Russia. You've got the Russians openly threatening. I mean, things are really coming to a head. What is behind all of this? What's behind the Pakistanis arresting the CIA spies inside Pakistan? What's going on? I mean, am I right in saying that we've moved a few more minutes towards midnight on the World War III clock?
Yes, you're certainly right. And it is, of course, this decadent, degenerate U.S. Ruling class which is doing all this. This is the initiative, at least, is coming from them. It's a desperate attempt to reorganize the world by destroying most of the existing nation states and really destroying any possible focus of resistance against the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the World Trade Organization. I guess, and you're certainly right, that things have gotten much worse in the past 2 to 3 weeks. Just for those who are keeping score, we're now up to 5 wars. We have Afghanistan, Iraq. We have a latent war with Pakistan, which is probably the biggest of these at the moment, which is always on the verge of becoming an open shooting war. We've got a war with Libya, and just in the past couple of weeks, we've added the war with Yemen, which is a joint Special Operations Command and CIA headquarters operating in the capital. Now that the U.S. has succeeded in pretty much destroying the government of Yemen, you've got you're going to have Apache helicopters flying over there, as well as the drones run by the CIA, as well as the military. So that makes 5. Now, likely number 6 is Syria. If Syria comes, it's likely to come with 2 others. If you're at war with Syria, you will probably soon be at war with Iran and with Hezbollah. So that will get us up to 8. And we've also, as you're pointing out, tensions now directly with the major nuclear power out there in the world, which is, of course, Russia. Now, just a couple of news updates. According to a number of intelligence sources, there is now a buildup around Syria. We've had the crescendo of this destabilization of Syria. I regard this as commandos of the Muslim Brotherhood, probably armed through the Kurdish part of Iraq. If you look at your map, you'll see that the Kurds in northern Iraq would be able to smuggle things into Syria, possibly also smuggled in through Jordan and other channels. So we've got the USS Bataan. The amphibious assault ship is standing by in the Mediterranean off the coast of Syria. Remember also you've got the British base on Cyprus, which can be used, so you don't need to have an aircraft carrier there. The U.S. right now has 2 aircraft carrier battle groups, but out in the Arabian Sea, pretty much off the coast of Yemen and off the coast of Saudi Arabia. So there could be a military move by the U.S. against Syria at any time, and this could come in surprising forms. We know that the capabilities are there. One of the main targets of this, of course, is that the Russians have a naval base at Tartus. The only real interesting base that the Russians have in the Mediterranean is in Syria. So if you do go ahead and attack Syria, you're going to get Russia into it much, much more directly. And all this nonsense about the reset and these things that Medvedev has been saying about singing tomorrows between the U.S. and Russia, this turns out to be quite false. Now, Iran is already accused by Hillary Clinton of having sent military forces into Syria. This would be the Quds force, the Jerusalem force of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. They are presumably already acting to shore up the Assad regime in Syria. Hezbollah from Lebanon is also reported to have sent forces into Syria. Now, if you get a certain amount of Iranian and Hezbollah forces into Syria, this could then be used by the Israelis as a pretext to start something, or the U.S. could seize on it. We had a very rare speech by Hillary Clinton where she condemned 2 countries at the same time. She condemned Syria and Iran in the same breath. So this is about as tense as it can get. And you've also got to remember that Turkey, sitting on the northern border of Syria, this is, of course, a NATO country. Up to now, the policies of Turkey have been relatively reasonable, actually promising and positive in some cases. But what happens to Turkey when they're threatened by a tide of refugees is certainly another question. So you have this entire complex. Now, to the degree that the U.S. has been fomenting this insurrection through the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria, I think you can also say one of the ways the Iranians have been striking back is to heat up the situation in Iraq. And if you look, we know we're getting more and more reports of attacks by Shiite militias, by the Mahdi army, on U.S. forces in Iraq. And the casualty lists have gone now sky high in the month of June. I think that's a kind of retaliation by the Iranians to what they can obviously see the U.S. is doing in Syria. All made much more complicated by the presence of yet another controversial warship, the USS Monterey. This is an Aegis cruiser with anti-ballistic missile capabilities that's sitting in the Black Sea, and the Russians, as you mentioned, have been vociferously protesting that. Now, it's not clear whether that warship there violates any treaty. The treaty would be the Treaty of Montreux, which governs who can get through the Bosporus and the Dardanelles, the so-called straits between the Mediterranean and the Black Sea. But this warship there would be in a position to try to do some anti-ballistic missile work, say, if Iran were retaliating against European NATO countries taking part in an attack on Iran. That's
so the point is,
looking at it.
Webster, to interrupt you for a moment, is that the pieces are all actually being put in place for the first time in memory. Not even Bush did this, to really have a large regional war spreading from North Africa into the Middle East, into Central and Southern Asia. That would, if this continues, this could really be called a third world war that is being kicked off in the name of anti-terrorism. And then you've got, as the players, Muslim brigades, known Saudi Arabian-backed Al-Qaeda, as the good guys working in countries that have already fallen, like Egypt, to a certain extent Yemen, also going up into Syria. It's those groups, same groups against Gaddafi. And I hear good old boys on the radio going, well, I guess Al-Qaeda's good. You know, we've got to work with them now. And then now we're un-American because we don't support Al-Qaeda. I mean, we've entered an Orwellian la-la land. But I want to get to what the ruling class, the offshore mega corporations that we pay the majority of our bailout taxpayer money to. I want to explain, when we hear USA is doing this, you mean the criminal elite that has a free hand to run wild. So what is their strategic plan? Just go ahead and start a major war from North Africa to Central Asia? Would that not be World War III? Would that not induce China and others to be involved?
Well, remember, their calculation is any independent nation state with any degree of autonomy is going to try to get out of the U.S. empire. So therefore, their goal is to destroy all existing nation states. I think it's time to rethink the whole issue of the nation state. In this chaos, any nation state just about is better than the chaos that you're seeing, for example, in Yemen, where you see a country that's now going into chaos and civil war. But let's take two leading examples. Saudi Arabia. Here we have the Washington Post of days ago, June 12th, we have an article by Prince Turkey. This guy is the former head of intelligence. He's a top guy in the Saudi Arabian royal family. This is yet another ultimatum to the United States. He says, if the United States vetoes the creation of a Palestinian state in the United Nations, there will be disastrous consequences for U.S.-Saudi relations. And then he goes on to say, we Arabs used to say no to peace, and we got our comeuppance in 1967. Now it is the Israelis who are saying no. I'd hate to be around when the Israelis face their comeuppance. This is widely seen as one of the heaviest threats that the Saudis have put down. I would recall to people, the last time I heard language like that, and you can read about this in my book, 9/11 Synthetic Terror, there is this statement from Saudi Arabia to the United States in August 2001, on the verge of 9/11. Then Crown Prince Abdullah sent a letter to Bush saying, we have come to the parting of the ways. We don't like your policies. We're going to go our way, and you go yours. And, of course, that was stopped by 9/11, one of the main goals of 9/11.
So we now enter the absolute prime zone, just like we had economic collapse, nothing compared to this, going up to 9/11. We're entering the prime zone for a pretext to launch the wars that they've all got lined up and now burning this is why we're launching the larger war. This is why the troops are going in. Then the domestic clampdown. They are now recruiting the Postal Service people to spy on you. The TSA's rolling out on the streets. You can really see how planned out this whole thing is.
To some extent, although the problem with the plan is the plan doesn't include the singularities that emerge. And now let's take another one. The other main country that is trying to break out of the empire that's been thoroughly integrated into it is, of course, Pakistan. And you remember here we had the Chinese issuing that ultimatum 3 weeks ago. If the United States attacks Pakistan, that will be interpreted by China as an attack on China. All right, how could China strike back? Well, there are hydrogen bomb missiles. That's less likely. But there's certainly a lot of treasury bonds. There are probably $2 trillion worth of treasury bonds. And there's cyber warfare. And we have now Panetta saying that the new Pearl Harbor is going to be a cyber attack. Now, looking at the Pakistani side of that, the Iranians, President Ahmadinejad of Iran, who is facing destabilization,
has just run off to meet with the Russians and the Chinese.
Well, that's the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. That's what people should be watching in the next couple of days. In other words, if there's going to be some kind of organized resistance against this rampage of the CIA and the British across the world, it's probably going to come from Astana, Kazakhstan, which is where you've got the meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. But big deal is, the president of Iran says that he has specific credible intelligence that the United States is about to launch an attack on the Pakistani nuclear forces. Now, that by itself could be a war, a conflagration of tremendous
proportions. And you've been saying that for several years, and we have a lot of evidence to that. Dr. Webster Griffin-Tarpley is our guest. I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network, GCNLive.com. Our sites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Last night, my wife asked me to pick up dinner. She was tired. And I sat there for 30 minutes at a bar, you know, waiting when I'd ordered the food for the food to come so I could take it home to the wife and children. And all the adult men and women talked about was LeBron James and whether or not the Miami Heat player had done a bad thing with supposedly a statement that had bad sportsmanlike conduct. And I bring that up because we're going into a depression by every yardstick. The government cooks the numbers on that. People's money doesn't go as far on fixed incomes. And there's all these new wars starting, and the UN is now the boss. The Congress isn't involved. There is some good news with Congress now moving to enforce the War Powers Act and to try to end some of this, but it's going to be too late. They're going to start World War III. And I don't say that lightly. Webster Tarpley, I know in my 10 years or more interviewing you, I've never heard you talk like this. We're not here saying this for theatrics or histrionics. I mean, you might need to boil this down for people and finish up the point you made as we went to break, that this is the plan. The RAND Corporation's talked about it. This is what the neocons wanted in their PNAC document. And a lot of Americans think war is macho and cool. This isn't going to be just picking on, you know, some people who live in the Stone Age. This is really growing and getting out of control. Why does the ruling class want this?
Well, again, it's because anybody who has a national state, a sovereign nation state, or anything approaching a sovereign nation state wants to assert their ability to get out from under the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the World Trade Organization, and what is called the Washington Consensus, which is, of course, free trade, free markets, union busting, no state sector, race to the bottom, no social safety net, and all that. There are people that want to do that here in the United States, but not that many. Outside in the world, most people regard that stuff as national suicide, and that's why you see Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, all of these countries, Libya, Algeria. They're all attempting to go towards Russia, towards
China, bottom line,
towards
Iran. The same banks that have looted us and that finance and control our whole military, they are picking off the last countries that they want to loot, and people are going to fight back, and they've openly triggered the Muslim uprisings with our media calling it glorious and wonderful. And how are things going for them? Because as we went to break, you were talking about the trigger points, how this could get a lot worse a lot quicker.
Well, the obvious trigger points are an attack on Pakistan, with the Chinese having made these commitments, forces the Chinese to do something about that. And again, it's either missiles or treasury bonds or cyber attacks, and that's what Panetta is talking about with the Pearl Harbor statement, right? When the head of the CIA, who is going to become the head of the Defense Department, says the next Pearl Harbor is coming as a cyber attack, and then he goes through a whole series of things which I don't believe cyber attacks can do, right? Shut down power systems and cause mayhem and basically...
No, only they can do that with the cybersecurity hub computers they've already put everywhere. And undoubtedly, the Chinese have said, hey, you're the ones really doing this.
Right.
The military-industrial complex wants the kill switch, and they're going to do it. And that's why at the Bilderberg meeting last week, it was just chock full of the technology heads.
Right. There is, of course, an apocalyptic mood in the ruling class, right? The so-called Götterdämmerung, or Twilight of the Gods, right? Imagine that Bilderberger taking place actually in a bunker in Berlin.
Ragnarok.
Yeah, something like this. So that's one side of it. On the other hand, they're also driven wild by the fact that their debt structures, right, their derivatives castle, the 1.5 quadrillion, seems now to be coming down, or it's closer to coming down in a panic than it has been in the past couple of years. Remember, we have been in a depression since 07, 08.
And stay there, stay there. This is too important. Stay there. We got to come back with Darblay. Götterdämmerung, Twilight of the Gods, Ragnarok, into the world. That is the attitude. They're giant personal bunkers, government bunkers, emergency seed vaults, huge weapon systems, domestic spy forces, all building towards the mop-up for world government to crown the J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs of the world, the open imperial rulers of the private world government. And now it's all out in the open, and they're going into high gear with their new alert systems, demonizing anyone that doesn't want a world government, attacking national sovereignty. Remember, these are globalists. They're attacking us while they attack foreign countries. So people tend to think of it as, America's going to get them, Pakistani's going to get them, Iranians. Ladies and gentlemen, this is about global domination, and we ain't in it. It's a big club, and we ain't in it. Tarpley, continuing with the geopolitical, and we'll come back with the economical information, what's happening on the economy front. Clearly they're going to go forward with this. They didn't launch all these overthrows. They didn't launch all these drone attacks. They didn't take us to war with no congressional approval because they just want to see people free in the Middle East. What is this meant to trigger, and what is their battle plan?
Well, I think the interesting thing is you're already beginning to hear, to see signs that they're approaching this point of logistical breakdown, of imperial overstretch. Look at the speech by outgoing Secretary of Defense Gates last week. I think that was serious. That was a hysterical outburst, really. And it raised a lot of eyebrows in the sort of pundit community here in Washington. Gates says, NATO is running out of bombs. We don't have enough bombs. The Europeans are not doing enough. You've got to do more, 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 more. You have 2 million under arms. You're not able to get 30, 40,000 into Afghanistan. I think that has to be taken seriously. We also have a French admiral speaking in Belgrade, Serbia, in the last couple of days, also says something to the effect of, we're reaching a point of logistical problem or strain. And I think that may be what's behind Boehner and even the entire House. Now, the entire House says to Obama, you've got to come to us and get approval or there's no money for your war there in Libya. I think this reflects an actual logistical strain. And if we go through that list, if you're in five wars, does that get you to logistical breakdown? If we're in six, and that's going to turn to seven to eight, at some point along there, there's going to be a logistical breakdown. I was just looking last night at the list of aircraft carriers, right? When you get into these crises, you want to know where the aircraft carriers are, and a significant number of them are being refitted. Three or four U.S. aircraft carriers can't be used right now, at least allegedly. This is what's posted on certain websites are supposedly knowledgeable. They're in shipyards getting refits. So there are fewer aircraft carrier battle groups out there than you would expect. So where is the point of logistical breakdown? At what point, for example, does the Russian government decide that Medvedev's prattling about the reset is simply unreal and get back to the hard, real realpolitik of Putin, right? The realistic power politics and realistic geopolitics. And once you goad the Chinese into action, we've had the Chinese ultimatum, stop playing with fire, stop going to the edge of bankruptcy, default, chaos, and world panic. Stop doing that.
Well, Webster, let me stop you for a minute, and we'll come back and talk about it. That's really the issue, is the rhetoric has gone from, even when countries are ready to go to war, from friendliness on the surface to right out in the open, you're going to destroy the world economy. You've already defaulted. You're already bankrupt. What are you doing? Stop it. The Russians are saying, what are you doing? Get your ship out of there. The Chinese are threatening in the South China Sea. Everything is getting more and more real. Everything is getting more and more out front. I mean, I don't even remember talk like this during the Cold War growing up. I mean, it's... And then, meanwhile, the average American's running around talking about LeBron James.
We had two ultimatums coming from the Soviet Union. One is the Suez Crisis in 1956. Khrushchev told the British and the French in particular, stop attacking Egypt or I have intermediate-range ballistic missiles with nuclear warheads. Then later on in the Berlin Crisis, 61, the U.S. was told, along with Britain and France, get out of Berlin in 6 months or else. I don't remember any ultimatum since then, but now, as you say, in the past...
Stay there. Come back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, we're going to finish up with author, historian, economist Webster Griffin Tarpley in this segment, then I will go to Adam, David, Ken, Kevin, John, and others that are patiently holding in a smattering of other really, really important information, like Congressman Issa leaks ATF emails proving that they knowingly were shipping guns into Mexico so they could demonize the Second Amendment. That's a form of false flag terror right there. People that doubt government does this, there's a form right there. Undoubtedly, they admit these guns have been used to kill people. There they are shipping them in because almost all the guns in Mexico on record are bought from the military, fully auto, grenade launchers. You can't buy those guns in an American gun store. You cannot get them, period. You can't get grenades. And the system is aware of this, so they got caught shipping them in. We told you that years ago with our sources. Now it's mainstream media. That is some of the news I'm going to be going over here today. But before I go any further and back to Webster on the key issue of the global ruling elite trying to drive us off a cliff in their quest to keep their hegemonic system in place, I want to remind listeners that we have incredible shortwave radios, books, videos, Patriot apparel, stuff that'll really get the word out about liberty, information that will certainly strike up conversations with people so you can meet like-minded folks, and your purchase of the books, the videos, the T-shirts, the shortwave radios, all of it at InfoWars.com is what funds this operation. We've got the TV network system we're building. We've got the radio, the films, the news websites, all the tip of the spear. And I want to thank all of you that have supported us over the years. We couldn't do it without you. So again, InfoWars.com to find the secure online video bookstore / apparel area. There's also electronics in there. A lot of it is made in America. It's impossible to find some items that aren't, but we have the Discover the Spirit of 1776 T-shirts that I designed that I'm really proud of, that I came up with a concept for, to be technical. Those are very, very popular. We've got the classic InfoWars.com shirt we've brought back, all available at InfoWars.com, or call 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. You can also see all the films and more at PrisonPlanet.tv. Now, if you didn't hear the last segment, Webster and I were talking about the fact that there's never been such ultimatums issued by China and by Russia in the last really 50 years that we're seeing now, and that this is a huge issue. But what do the big banking cartels that own the U.S. and Europe and England through fraud, Webster, people say, what's your proof? Look at most of the bailout money, folks. It went overseas to private institutions and private banks, private families. What do these globalists hope to get? Because as they get America more in debt, they finance, you know, the war, and then they make the profits on both ends. They get to dominate and destroy countries that we destroy for them. Then they get to loan them the money to rebuild and take control of them. But at the same time, I mean, isn't this just about really a game of brinksmanship with the world, that if they bully China and Russia and others, that somehow they'll continue to buy the T-bills? Because if that's what they want, it isn't working. China is dumping more and more. They're not buying anything near what they were. The Federal Reserve is monetizing over 75% now. That means hyperinflation, boys and girls. There's a total war against liberty domestically. Obviously, bad guys are running the country. I mean, what does the ruling class hope to get from this? Because no one is giving in to them, and they're still just going forward.
Well, we have to go back to Plato just to remind ourselves that the purpose of an oligarchy never changes. The purpose of an oligarchy is to maintain oligarchy, and in this case, it's an Anglo-American oligarchy. I call it imperialist rather than globalist, because it's really not global. It is centered in London and New York, and the people you're going to see meeting in Astana at the Shanghai Cooperation Organization are by and large those who have been excluded or are not allowed.
No, I know, but Webster, I want to make something clear here. It's not that I like the Chinese or the Russian government, you know, throughout history, serious problems, corrupt. I'm an American. The point I'm trying to get across is the ruling class that runs our country hates us even more than they hate the Chinese and the Russians. That's the point, is that a lot of Americans are like, well, let's have a war with the Russians. I'll feel patriotic. They need to understand these interests are not our interest. And when I say globalism, I mean the name they've given this corporate, unelected, monopolistic capitalist system that's the opposite of free market.
And I would also add, people have got to understand, empire is bad for you. Empire doesn't help you. The two big examples are Ataturk telling the Turks, give up on the Ottoman Empire, be Turkey, you'll be much better off. That has worked, I think, for Turkey very well. Other example, De Gaulle telling the French, give up Algeria. Don't be an empire. You will be happier, more prosperous, more free. You will have a whole series of advantages that you can't have. That is, and indeed, if you look at people like Sakharov and some others in Russia, telling the Russians the Soviet empire is bad for you, not good for you. Why do we have high unemployment? Why do we have declining standards of living? Why do we have reactionary politics? Why do we have cultural degradation? Why do we have this creeping police state dictatorship that you're pointing out quite correctly? These are all fruits of empire. Get rid of the empire. The United States as a powerful nation state could do much better than the United States as an empire. We don't need 6, 7, 8 wars going on. These
people would beg us in through soft power like they did 30, 40 years ago.
Well, again, I'm a proponent of the idea of the modern state, and you're going to see the alternative. Take a look at Yemen, and you're going to see that the alternative to the modern state is feudalism in some form. It's either going to be tribalism, warlords, criminal enterprises, or simply chaos, simply the destruction.
And we see everything going to mercenaries. We see everything converting to corporate nation states within the countries tied to this global matrix, and then waging war against the original nation states. But again, to quantify it, Dr. Tarpley, what does the ruling class think they're going to get out of all of this? Because they're not getting the world to not dump the dollar. They're getting the opposite. And so instead of admitting they're wrong, they accelerate the program. Is that accurate?
Well, they would say, you know, Libya was interested in dumping the dollar. Libya was inviting in the Russians and the Chinese. Libya is now knocked out. Libya is, to some degree, paralyzed. And they say, what we do in Libya, we can do further. Remember that ultimately for them, the goal is to ride this color revolution, military coup, destabilization, insurgency, all the way to Tehran, to Beijing, and to Moscow. And you can see that implicit in that is the threat of some kind of third world war. That's evidently there. But they would say, with our color revolution methods, with the methods of Gene Sharp and the Albert Einstein Institute and the National Endowment for Democracy, we can essentially smash all the opposition in the world and then actually have a global empire with no significant centers of resistance. Because right now, Moscow, Beijing, Tehran, and others, Ankara, Turkey, maybe Indonesia, right? There are others that are somehow not following orders in the way that they
want. And by the way, that's what the Financial Times of London is saying, and that's for the establishment mouthpiece. Why would they come out and say words like America is crumbling, just as the British Empire crumbled, the American Empire is crumbling? Is that because they're going to try to scapegoat us when really their elite is piloting the thought process of much of this, and then they'll try to scurry into other institutions? I mean, this is a British establishment indictment of the American Empire, which they helped create.
Yes, because ultimately, in their view, the United States as a nation state is the target. In other words, if you want to know who is fomenting things like secessionism, subversion, and all kinds of other things designed to break up the United States, you can look to London for that. Remember that this is what's known as an atavism, right? In other words, the British Empire, in the old sense, is long gone, but the mentality is still there. And when you get a breakdown crisis like the current one, the old ghosts, right, the nightmare of past generations.
That's what I was going to say. We are possessed by the ghost of the British Empire.
Yeah, they are. I mean, we are enslaved to it, but they're embracing it. So, yes, all of this is going on. The strangest things that you thought, you know, had been banished from the world for a long time are now coming forward as if they were serious. But on the other hand, remember that the ruling elites of countries in the third world don't share this view. In other words, if you're in Moscow or Beijing or India, too, and to a significant degree, or Brazil or Indonesia, there's a different mentality in the third world. They want economic development. They want progress. They want rising standards of living, full employment, modern science, modern technology, and so forth. Of course, all of these ruling elites have Malthusian factions.
That's why they sell the whole carbon tax situation.
Exactly.
But they're only able to implement it in the West. More crippling, further crippling their own imperial war system. There's schizophrenia written all over this behavior.
Yes, they're collectively insane is a good way to put it. But remember, it was China that stopped that worldwide carbon dictatorship it was the Copenhagen conference in December of 2009, right? It was the Chinese with a strategy to block it, right? Playing the developing countries against the United States. So, again, there is an opposition in the world, and I think you have to look at it. That's a good thing, because if you didn't have Russia, China, India, and the rest of them, the United States would be long since a total police state with no liberties left whatsoever. It's the fact that there is a foreign opposition that allows us to continue on here, and we shouldn't kid ourselves about that.
Oh, they would arrest us in a New York minute. They'd stage a few more OKCs and come after us. In this equation, Dr. Tarpley, in closing, I see false flag as the ace in the hole, the only thing that will give the globalist, the Anglo-American elite, any chance of carrying out this current program.
All right, here's one concrete example. Now, I can't vouch for this because I don't know the details. I don't know the person. There's a lawyer in Germany by the name of Van Geest, G-E-E-S.
Hold on, we're going to have to do five more, and then I promise, callers, bottom of the hour, I'm going right to your calls and then a bunch of other news. It's just overwhelming. But we want to talk about false flag terror. And I happen to have gotten multiple intel data points on something very big, U.S. troops out of Fort Hood, and I even know the divisions, and we need to get calls and more intel on this tomorrow. The 1st Cavalry Division Heavy Armor 3 Corps are deploying to Libya. All right, final segment with Webster, then we're going to your phone calls. Appreciate everybody holding and everybody tuning in and joining us today. At the end of the day, I just want my family to be free. I want my private property rights. I want my liberty, my freedom, and I don't want to be part of a corrupt empire. And there's no doubt that that's what America basically is today. And there's no doubt that every form of liberty is under assault globally. And China has riots going on all over its country. Russia's got serious problems. And it's mainly because the world's going into a depression. And you see the riots and fights and crime exploding across the U.S., and much of this is owed to the banking system we have that is devaluing currencies worldwide. Now, Tarpley, we're getting into false flag terror, and then I'm going to get more into this military deployment news that I have for the month of October. We're going to try to confirm this through some other sources. But, I mean, do you concur overall that we see a lot of pre-hyping for domestic terror, foreign terror, cybersecurity attacks? I'm seeing the same preparatory propaganda I saw pre-9/11 that induced myself to go on air and say they're going to blow up the World Trade Center and blame it on their asset, Bin Laden.
Yes, well, that was a great achievement for you at the time. And the Saudis with Prince Turki making that ultimatum to the United States in the pages of the Washington Post takes us back again to the similar kind of ultimatum that Saudi Arabia was sending in August of 2001, right? We have reached the parting of the ways, and that's one of the key pillars of the empire. So yes, false flag. Now here's the one hypothesis that I'm aware of that might be of interest. Van Geest, G-E-E-S-T, is a German lawyer in the Ruhr area, I think in the city of Essen, and he is attempting to get a temporary restraining order or an injunction, if he can, to stop any and all terror drills organized in Berlin, Germany, around the opening of the World Women's Soccer Championship, which is going to be at the Olympic Stadium in Berlin starting on the 26th of June.
And why are drills important for those that don't know?
Well, I don't know the facts. I don't know Van Geest, and I don't know his facts.
But we know they always use drills.
This is exactly the right method. So whatever else he's doing, he's at least showing people what you have to be aware of, that when the drill goes live, when the drill is flipped live, is the moment when something happens. So he's basically trying to get out in front, which I think if everything else adds up, that's the good thing to do. Get out in front of the drills and try to stop them with legal action if you can.
In 1 minute, explain it. Drills are used to condition the public to create a subconscious illusion because the subconscious sees the drills as real terror attacks. It's to hype something that's nearly non-existent as a pretext to take liberties, but that's only one use. In every major stage terror attack, on record, drills are run in case other elements of the government catch the government people carrying out the attack. They're told it's a drill. It's also used to bootleg the attack with the funding, and it's used so Echelon and other spying systems picking up chatter of the drill just believe it's a drill and not the real attack. So it's a cloaking device, correct?
Yes, there's an invisible government. In other words, the thing that does these events like 9/11 is not the United States government as a whole. It can't be. It's got to be a privately controlled network. I would say a Wall Street network. Think of it as the Alan Dulles CIA network or something like that in our present
time. It's an inner merc group, just like we knew 6 years ago, but now it's admitted there's a camp within Camp X-Ray where they kill the people called Camp No, because you know, if asked if you're ever leaving, you're told no, you're dead. I mean, they always have systems within systems.
It's completely illegal, and that's we should never give up the terrain of legality because they're illegal, and people who are objecting to this are not illegal. But in this case, the invisible government, the rogue network, this private parallel government, they have got to bootleg their activities through the official existing government institutions because they need the resources. They can't do it without controlling government resources. So the only way to do that is to create an approved legal drill that's sanctioned and announced and otherwise kosher, and then make changes in that, make small changes. If people want to see how this works, you can look at that Tom Cruise film about Valkyrie, where they take an existing drill, Valkyrie, and they rewrite it, and instead of being a plan to maintain Nazi rule, it becomes a plan to end it.
And by the way, that's a true story, so that's an example of how it can be reversed.
It's a great way to show people how it works.
Fox TV was approached. We confirmed this. We broke this with stars of the show. The X-Files Lone Gunman spinoff, a year before and then 6 months before, aired a special where a group within government uses a drill of flying a hijacked jet in the World Trade Center to make government stand down to do it. And then, of course, they really did it a few months later, all part of throwing it in our face. Webster Griffin, Tarpley, tarpley.net, always amazing having you on, my friend. Let me say bye to you during the break. Always great to talk to you on and off air. Your calls and a ton of key news straight ahead on the other side. Congress is suing Obama over his illegal Libya war. That could be a really positive sign. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Extremism and defense of liberty is no vice.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central, we are here live blasting out on the AM and FM dial, Sirius XM, Global Shortwave, and of course, InfoWars.com. Don't forget, we now have the InfoWars Insider with exclusive videos, news articles, and photos sent out every Friday at 2 p.m. Central. A lot of folks have signed up for that at the top of InfoWars.com. You see the yellow banner. Just put your email address in, and we'll send it right over to you. And we had a lot of folks say they loved it, but make sure a lot of you, because of the spam filters, check your junk file, your trash file, to make sure you didn't miss it, because it was a lot of key Bilderberg exclusive info. Okay, I'm going to your calls and then some other important news here in the last 30 minutes, but I want to go over this because I've gotten emails, phone calls, and chatter in the last month, all basically saying the same thing. Now, this doesn't mean it's 100% because the troops are told they're going to be deploying and sometimes they're not. But then I add this together with a plethora of other data points, and it has a lot of credibility. Now we're told, oh, they're going to be there through next year, and they're getting the helicopters. The British helicopters have been attacking for a few weeks, and more U.S. and British advisors and mercenaries and commandos on the front lines going in against Gaddafi. Remember, this is going to last days, not weeks, and it's not a war. It's a kinetic action because the government doesn't lie, and Weiner didn't send those photos, but he did. And Obama's hiring people to give him campaign contributions. It's illegal, but so what? I mean, again, it's just total criminality out in the open. But I get these type of, I'm not going to read the entire letter here on air because it's got some information I probably shouldn't get to, but military personnel are saying that this information needs to be passed on to you. This is from soldier stationed at Fort Hood, Texas. The information is that special forces are going into Libya in July. They're already there, ladies and gentlemen, just more from Hood. 1st Cavalry Division, Heavy Armor, and 3rd Corps are deploying to Libya in late October and early November. That means ground war involvement in the plan. Well, yeah, that's always been the plan. Please do whatever you can to get this information out. I'm sure Americans don't want another war. Here's what's going to happen. Quickly, because I want to talk to everybody, but I want to get these guys on. Adam, David, Kevin, and John. I'm just going to have time to get to those calls. And as you hear phone callers hang up, if you're at Fort Hood or in the military, call us and let us know this is true. Look, Congress is suing. Boehner, the Speaker of the House, is saying it's illegal. It's a UN war. It's a fraud. This is treason. So it's the right thing to do to confirm if they are planning the ground war before they stage some terror attack in America and claim Gaddafi did it. You notice they'll already have the troops ready. They'll stage the attack and claim that the troops just appeared off the coast magically, like Bush did, signing the order to attack Afghanistan in 1 week on September 10th and having the 44,000 U.S. troops already massed. They claim that they just were teleported by Scotty and the Enterprise over there. No, it's all being lined up, all set up. Troops, I want to hear from you. As soon as we go to these callers, you'll be able to call in. 1-800-259-9231. Please don't call, folks, unless you're troops, because we need to leave these lines open as they open up. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Or if you're the wife or husband of somebody in the military, we want to hear from you on this. This is big, and we'll obviously get more intel now that I've announced this, and we'll have more for you tomorrow. Adam in Alabama, we ran up to a break. You were bringing up a point about Ron Paul winning in all the polls except for a CNBC that was then used by CNN and others with 54 votes to tell people that he got zero votes. Anybody that believes that, I got a bridge to sell you. What was your other point quickly, Adam?
My second point was the it's kind of a quick story. My girlfriend works for loss prevention at a department store, and I went with her on her lunch break to file a warrant for the shoplifter. And I walk into the police station that's been deemed a public safety center. You know, it's got all those big federal grants from Homeland Security. I walk in, and there's the big badges up on the wall, the seals, you know, 3-foot signs. You know, they were the local county seals, and then the other ones were United States Department of Homeland Security, U.S.
Yeah, no, they're merging the feds with the local police and acclimating everyone.
Oh, yeah, and after that, one of my very close friends is a police officer, and about a week ago, they had some goon come to their local police department. I know you already know all of this. I had him come and say, you know, sovereign citizens are bad, you know, they're all crazy, Ron Paul's the devil, you know, 9/11 truthers are going to, you know, kill all the police officers and everything like that. And there's going to be an upcoming attack, and I agree with you that they're going to try to blame it on anybody that's for the Constitution. Anybody, they're going to try to spin this somehow with all
and
these.
I want to tell good old boys something. When they blow stuff up and stick the American flags out and say that patriots did it, if you go along and shut up, America's done. Okay, these are terrorist criminals running the government. They want their domestic security force. It's lined up. Now, here's the $64 million question. Is your police officer friend buying this?
He is to an extent. I tried to inform him on a lot of stuff, but, I mean, they had somebody good because they came in, showed him the video of that father and son shooting the cop and, you know, told him that, you know, anybody that's for the Constitution's bad. If you see anybody with a 9/11 truth bumper sticker, that they, you know, they're radicals, and if you pull them over to write them a speeding ticket, they're going to shoot you, and it's just complete fear-mongering.
And what's going to happen is if they attack enough people, they're going to get resistance. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Meanwhile, the biggest danger is the drug gangs killing cops or cops dying in automobile accidents. They'll use a few examples of nuts killing cops, hype it up to basically create this war against the American people, and it's always been planned. I appreciate your call, Adam, and yes, that's what the new emergency alert is constant to the local police scaring the daylights out of them and then having the locals come out and announce all the fear, knowing that'll actually create fear because folks trust local police a lot more than they trust the feds, but the local police have been federalized. And don't worry, cops, the New World Order wins, you're not getting your pension fund, you're not getting Social Security, but it'll be fun to hate those constitutionalists that you swore an oath to. You swear an oath to it, but it's evil. David in Illinois, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alex. I resonate with the same sentiment that you have as far as being a red-blooded American and want the best for my family and to protect myself and my property. I just want to bring up two things really quick. I live in Illinois, Obama land, and I noticed that as I pass from Illinois over to Indiana on my way to work, I've noticed for the past 2 weeks that there's a small town on the border of Illinois has been following, the town police has been following police over into Indiana and writing them tickets in the state of Indiana. And
unifying the codes under federal control. They're getting everybody trained in MJTFs under TSA and Threat Fusion to just have no jurisdictions. It's all being erased.
That way, and that's just an in-your-face thing. And secondly, and lastly, our state attorney general has just released our firearm owner's identification card, which all Illinois state citizens have to have basically a driver's license, if you will, to own a gun.
Yes.
Our attorney general, Lisa Madigan, has just released all of the state citizens that have a FOID card to the state police for the future gun grab that's coming up. What do you have to say about that?
Oh, they publish them in newspapers as a form of harassment against you. And then I've seen newspapers in Illinois and other states that do this, actually pick people out of the list and demonize them for owning a gun. It's a cult of aggressive people trying to bully us. And you watch, they're going to shoot up malls. That's the script. They're going to say that patriots, anti-globalists, people that don't like the Federal Reserve, work with Al-Qaeda, and they're going to say, turn your guns in, prove you're not with the white Al-Qaeda. And a lot of good old boys are going to go crying, turning their guns in when this happens. And then they're going to wish. Folks, you better wake up to stage terror because it's the secret weapon that's going to bring all of America down. I appreciate your call, David. Now, we got two lines open now for military about this Fort Hood deployment or other deployments to Libya. It's already admitted they're getting ready for it, but we'd like to hear it directly from you or tell us if we're wrong. 800-259-9231. I know it's on short notice, but we'll get emails or calls tomorrow if you can't get through today. Kevin in New York, you're on the air. Thank you.
Hey, Alex, how are you?
I'm all right, but it's all coming to a head. I wish I'd been wrong all these years.
Yeah, I hear you. I just wanted to talk to you real quick about an incident that took place at JFK Airport, the TSA, about 2 months ago. I was meeting a friend that was coming in from Europe, and I was sitting there waiting for them to clear customs, and I noticed a young woman of Asian descent walking around with a camera, taking photographs with a telephoto lens of all the structural connections and all the structural columns in the building. And I watched her for about 3 or 4 minutes just to make sure that she was doing what I knew she was doing.
It was probably a drill. They had the drills to create paranoia in the TSA, but tell us what happened.
Well, my whole family is retired high-level NYPD. I happen to be in construction, so I knew what she was looking at. And I went over to the TSA agents and said, look, you know, there's somebody here casing the place, taking photographs, and I think you need to at least address it with them, find out what they're doing. And they basically spent 10 minutes trying to find somebody who could go investigate this. They spent more time asking me questions about why I was so interested. And finally, I had to say to them, look, no more nonsense with you people. You're either going to do your job, or I'm going to go hold that person until the NYPD gets here, and I'll make a phone call.
So they were trying to act like you were the bad guy.
Yeah. They basically, then what happened was they went over, talked to her. She showed an ID from Columbia University, told them that she was an architectural student, and architectural students don't care about general support beams and columns. You know, if it was something unique from an architectural standpoint, maybe I could see them taking photographs. These were just basically I-beams that were tied together, and she was not taking a wide-angle
photo. You know, Chinese intelligence on record is casing and diagramming the entire United States infrastructure. But they're not a problem. We got to worry about those guys with American flags on their cars because, you know, they don't like the communism.
It's funny because they then ended up, after they came back with this bogus story, I was like, look, she's an architectural student. She's not a structural engineer. Why would she be taking pictures of support columns? There's nothing architecturally beautiful about this building. What are you people listening to? They then proceeded to have two of their people follow me or told my friend came out, and I was kind of watching the woman, keeping an eye on her, and they had two people following me. I eventually went up to them and said, why are you following me? And they said, oh, we're not following you. I was like, look, I literally walked around paths to see what they were doing, and they both kept me in eyesight the whole time. Like, I was the threat as opposed to the person with the camera.
Well, that's because it's all security theater. It's like Janet Napolitano said 2 weeks ago. I mean, if you believe the official story about, you know, the terror threat being entirely Arab or Muslim, she said there's no logical sense to profile young Arab men. I mean, that's like saying there's no logical sense in saying the sun's going to come up tomorrow, because they can't ever do that. It's got to be that it's all Americans, trust no one but the government, because they're getting ready to flip the narrative onto the American people. I appreciate your call. Great points. We just got specialist in the military, Specialist H out of Georgia. What can you tell us about the letters and emails and calls I'm getting that the troops are being told that the 1st Cavalry Heavy Armored Division with 3 corps are deploying to Libya in late October, and that more special forces are going in July to Libya? What have you heard about that?
Hey, Alex. I cannot confirm that yet, but I'm working down in CENTCOM, under CENTCOM Command, Army Central. It's I'm with the Mortuary Affairs section, but I get guys dying. You know, I'm tracking our dead fellow soldiers coming in from, you know, which country that they get killed. So I'm already tracking guys coming from Libya that are, you know, already getting killed.
So they're already there. So, how many in your affairs department and break down how those departments work for folks that don't know? You're the guy that has to make sure the family gets contacted, line up the benefits, line up the funeral, correct, and you're getting casualties already out of Libya.
True, sir. That's why, I was trying to get in contact to you because of the last time, you know, especially with the Bin Laden issue, you know, it's really crazy because it didn't go through my section, our section, especially, you know, it's under CENTCOM Command. You know, they killed them, per se, but, you know, it didn't go through us, but the issue being us having soldiers already down there, you know, I'm not sure yet what's the numbers, what's the actual numbers that are on the ground down there in Libya, but and then, you know, other issues that I'm getting chatter in the office is they're running out of BU, so, you know, they're around in the office, they're going crazy, because, you know, they're running out of depleted uranium to send out down to, the CENTCOM command.
Well, look, there were U.S. and British special forces confirmed in the month before they used the Al-Qaeda forces in the east against the west, against Gaddafi. That's been confirmed. They just claim now they're advisors, but they've been videotaped. What looks like pure mercs. They're not even in U.S. military uniforms, but it's white guys up there, and they know what they're doing. You can watch, obviously, Europeans or Americans. You also see folks that don't look Arabic but have brown skin, probably Latin American stock Americans. But whatever's going on, they admit it's happening, just not details. What type of body count numbers are you seeing of U.S. forces out of Libya?
I got two soldiers and then three civilians. I am not really sure those three civilians are even mercs, sir. But for now, I have seen on my tracker, I only seen two soldiers pass by.
Would you see everything, or do you just see people going to a certain region?
I see everything. I see everything that we get killed or our people that gets killed down there. We see everything, especially if they pass by through our mortuary affairs collection points.
So three civilians and two military. Were they Army?
Yes, sir. Army.
So, but
yes, sir.
Do you just see Army, or are you seeing joint forces?
For now, I see Army. I haven't seen joint forces.
But
yet,
I mean, generally, in the total categories in CENTCOM, do you see?
We do have joint forces. Yes, we do have joint forces down there. But you know, the body count that came in through my tracker is only two, and then three civilians. I cannot confirm where the three civilians worked for, but. You know, when they come through our collection points, when we package them up back to the States, you know, I see
how did
them.
They,
I,
were these wounds from combat?
Yes, sir. Bullet wounds, sir.
Bullet wounds. Well,
yes.
I tell you, only two dead does sound like they're actually just advisors. Because if they were front line, wouldn't you imagine there'd be a lot more dead?
I would imagine, sir. You know, my tracker will be, you know, busy.
What do you think of the overall intel we're getting that they're planning a full-scale ground invasion of Libya?
I'm getting scared too, sir. Because like you said, you know, like they did in Afghanistan, they lining the soldiers up to get ready, you know, to prepare for an attack down here in the States, and they'll say, you know. Gaddafi did it. We need to go in. So that's the thing I'm worried about.
Are any of the other people? Are any of the other folks in CENTCOM concerned like you are?
I'm the one that's voicing out my this opinion.
Stay there. Stay there. Final segment. Big broadcast lined up tomorrow. We'll probably have reporters live from the rioting and fires and bedlam in Greece as that country goes under globalist austerity measures to pay every dime to the offshore banks that openly took the country over, part of the public record. Congress, prominent Republicans and Democrats are filing suit against the White House. They could just impeach Obama, forget a suit. Saying that they've never been even told what's happening in the war, not even consulted, and they will move to prohibit the White House from conducting a war without congressional approval. Well, it's already prohibited, but they just do it. And that's what's so dangerous. We have these rules in place for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. I want to go to Chris in Maryland, who's also in the military, but finishing up with Specialist H. I was asking if other folks are aware of what's happening. Is anybody concerned about Obama launching wars without even talking to Congress, which is illegal?
A lot of people are concerned, sir, but, you know, they're still being apathetic to what's happening right now in our country, especially, you know, this you know, possible war with Libya. I know it's already going on myself, but, you know, there's nobody, even in our inner circle in the Army, nobody's voicing out their opinions.
But the government says it's not a war. I mean, was that a laugh for folks in CENTCOM that this is not a war?
It's true. It's a laugh. It is really a laugh because, you know, people are already dying. And people just most hired NCOs and officers that I talk about this are just, you know, apathetic. They have that huge apathy. Don't worry about it.
That's why things are going to get a lot worse, because people in charge just do whatever they're told, and that's a recipe for Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia. Stay in touch, Special Stage. And then we're going to quickly go to Chris, but last question. You were starting to talk about folks not buying the Bin Laden thing because CENTCOM knew nothing. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Did the military buy that fable?
Most military bought that fable. I even voiced out loud in my unit, look, that guy didn't pass my tracker, didn't pass my section, especially the way they said they buried him at sea. I could pull out the book that we're not allowed to do that. I don't know, you know, why most military bought that, you know, in the media, but most people knew that, you know, most of my leaders knew that he was dead a long time ago. But, you know, that's the only thing I hate about them, because they're too scared to share their opinions and the truth of, you know, even though they have the facts, they can prove it.
Very interesting, Special Stage. Thank you. Be safe. Chris in Maryland in the military. What's the word on bigger ground forces going into Libya? Have you heard anything on that?
Yes, I did, Alex. I'm actually a former special operations and paramilitary contractor. And everything you said has been 100% accurate as far as the troops in Libya and special ops down there in Libya and Pakistan and stuff like that. Everything you've said so far has been 100% accurate.
So you're just saying I'm accurate. You don't want to say it yourself. But the word is that 1st Cavalry Division, heavy armor, and three corps deploying to Libya in late October.
I heard September was the actual date when they're going to start moving troops over there.
This says late October and early November.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's correct.
And would they just be sending troops from Fort Hood, or do you think three corps will do it?
No, right now what they're doing right now, I know they're using certain organizations to laze targets and stuff like that over there. They're going to start it small and then go big.
You know what? That's it for the main transmission, but internet only, InfoWars.com. I got to go to Overdrive. I want to get more information from you on this. We're obviously going to do a report because I have sources in the military, emails. It's all coming in, and we're being told these months. And it's so outrageous that Congress wasn't even consulted. Regardless of what you think of this new war, it is a war. The UN is the authority for it, and that's treason. That's it for this transmission. Okay, we're just doing 5 minutes of Overdrive here today. The whole world is accelerating towards wider war, and it's not a mistake that it's happening during the Depression. That's being done as a political diversion. They're hyping the daylights out of domestic terror attacks, and that pro-patriot, pro-liberty people work with Al-Qaeda. I mean, that's like saying that LeBron James loves Cleveland. I mean, it is a fraud, and it doesn't matter. They're getting ready, and they're going to go ahead with all this. We're here trying to warn people as best we can. And, folks, you're not going to just sit out of this and not have it affect you. This is being done so the mega banks can rob the daylights out of you. So this means things are only going to get worse. We tried to stop it. We still might be able to, but I doubt it. At least people are going to hear the truth when all this stuff unfolds and know that we tried to warn them. Chris, we got about 4 minutes left. You've got the floor. You're a former special operations, now a contractor, and you're saying that everything, and that's just classic with somebody who's real, you know, just saying, well, what you said is accurate, because not wanting to, not wanting to come out himself and say it. But what else are you being told? I mean, this is illegal, and it doesn't mean they still couldn't try to go after folks for talking about it, but it is illegal what's going on, and Congress is moving to try to block this, but they better move fast. So they're planning to start slow like they always do, and then build it up and tell us it's not a war. What else can you tell us?
It's not just Libya right now. There's a lot of other things going on, and that was a part of certain things going on that may come to light within the next 6 months or so. But
is that Yemen, or is that people inside Iran?
Can't say, but you're good.
you're accurate on that. Pretty much, what we're doing right now is leading up to, I guess you can say, World War III. They're not calling it a war in my job field, but they are calling it just an occupation, or over there doing a specific job, and that's it. Don't talk about it. We weren't allowed to listen to your show, and I actually were woken up by you maybe 7 months ago.
Really? So you're not allowed to listen to my show?
No, we're not.
So what, you were in a foreign country or in country, and people got caught listening to it?
This was in country and overseas, Afghanistan.
And what did they say? You don't listen to that traitor?
Pretty much, we were blocked from the website. We were not allowed to access your website and get information from it.
But I mean, what's their story? How do they describe me?
It's pretty much just propaganda or hatred. And I didn't believe it, so I checked it out for myself. And I'm like, well, this guy actually is right. But I guess they're using the same tactics that they use on Americans today. It's just...
That's the same science they use on third world people. Look, here's the deal. When the history books are written, it's going to be known America was taken over by traitors. I want my private property. I want my guns. I don't want to give $27 trillion to a bunch of offshore crooks. And I don't want to go take over countries for oil companies. And it's that simple. And I'm an American. And the fact that I don't want to go through all the stuff I've had to deal with this. But the, you know, people in government that tell you that, I mean, and were they telling you that with a straight face? Do those guys... actually believe what they're saying?
Oh, yes. You'd pretty much get in trouble if you were caught listening to it or accessing the website.
And they would say that guy's a hater of America, basically?
Pretty much, yes. And I recently left the military and got into paramilitary contracting and saw the things that were going on in that job field and decided I couldn't do it anymore. I'm married and had a kid on the way, and it just wasn't the lifestyle that... Yeah, I wanted to live anymore, so got out.
What are you going to do when they start blowing stuff up and blaming it on us? I hope folks will stand up for me when they kill me.
Oh, yeah. I will, Alex. I mean, the whole 9/11, and, you know, that's a whole different story itself. But like I said, I love your show. You're 100% accurate on everything you say.
We got a quick question. What about AFRICOM? Is there a big move into Africa?
Alex, we've been there for the past 6 years.
Yep. All right. God bless you. Try to get back in soon. We need to do whole shows where we talk to the military. God bless you, my friend. Please spread the word. We've got a Nazi Germany situation on our hands.